Welcome back to another episode of the Indie Founder Podcast. My name is Tiago. I am an indie maker, and today is the last day of the year. Therefore, let's do a wrap-up of 2024. I'm going to share everything that went well, everything that did not go so well. I want to share some lessons and takeaways that hopefully you can also use in your own business. Some are more personal, others are more business-like. And yeah, let's kind of as well analyze the business, how much money we're able to make, how much like did our MRR grew, everything. I've done already kind of a reflection with my co-founders now, so I think I have everything now ready to share with you. Before we start these episodes, please make sure to give a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to this podcast, and as well to share this podcast, Indie Founder, with your friends, your indie maker friends. And last but not least, shoot me a message. WBTiago is my handle on Twitter. Shoot me a message, and I'm always keen to get to know you. When I sat down with my co-founder and we decided to discuss the year and kind of reflect and debrief whatever happened in 2024, there was, and I think all along the year actually, there was kind of a feeling of disappointment. And the reason why is because we came from a year of 2023 where we actually started PodSqueeze. And it was very exciting because PodSqueeze, especially in the first months, grew a lot very fast. That kind of growth kind of spoiled the growth of 2024. Not that we're really expecting that kind of growth, but the fact that we didn't have it, it affected us a little bit. It made us feel that we're not doing enough, I believe. And yeah, all along the year, myself and my co-founder, we would have this feeling of, hey, what is missing? We kind of, you know, always tried to figure out. We always assumed that there was something missing, a low-hanging fruit that would, again, unlock the growth that we had with PodSqueeze at the beginning. Now, I know that this probably will not happen, and I'm okay with that now, and I have a few theories why, and I will share more about that later. But let me tell you about one thing that we were able to fix. When we started PodSqueeze, we caught the AI wave completely. Sure, we did a lot of things that were good, like we did cold emailing, we did product hunt launches, we shared a lot of the product, and because of that, we also got a lot of traction. But because we're getting this wave, because we were also new in the market and we got the market in the right timing, the conversion was higher and people would just organically share PodSqueeze. It was much easier to get the word around. But towards September of 2023, that started to die out. People were already used to AI and there were as well a lot of competitors. So we saw that there was a decreasing amount of users coming to our website every month. And that was very worrisome. That's basically when we realized we made a huge mistake. We didn't focus on a sustainable source of marketing, of a sustainable source that would bring users to our website. So that was one of the main focus for 2024. How can we bring more people to our website in a sustainable way, a way that also aligns with an indie company, right? A bootstrapped company that cannot afford to be spending thousands and thousands of euros in ads, paid ads. So we decided to go with SEO. We started SEO in September, October 2023, and it really paid off, especially in the end or towards the end of 2024. We hired a consultant. That was a really good decision. And we also have a content writer. And that's one of the good things that happened in 2024. We got really good in exploiting SEO, in bringing the most out of it. And we learned a lot of really important things. We learned how to do a really good keyword research, how to plan our clusters, and as well, how to grow our domain authority. We realized that domain authority, or domain ranking, which is basically a metric on how Google evaluates how relevant you are for a specific area, in our case, podcasting, yeah, you can grow that. There's ways. There's ways with backlinks. I've talked about this in other episodes in the past, but I might do another episode in the future just talking specifically about SEO and backlinks. But yeah, we got really good doing that and measuring that. And because of that, our traffic grew a lot. And let me actually give you some numbers. So in 2024 alone, we brought 200,000 unique users to our website, which is amazing. And there was a huge growth after actually in the last 3 or 4 months. So just for you to understand, in May, June, we're bringing 12,000 users to our website. And in October, we brought 25,000. And that's actually growing. So we doubled our monthly traffic just with SEO, just with Google. We're getting really good at this. And this was undoubtedly the best, or one of the top things, one of the top accomplishments of 2024. And I will tell you why. Because this is actually one thing that defends our brand and defends our product. A lot of people ask me, what is my differentiating factor? Like, why would people pick PodSqueeze, or why would PodSqueeze be better than another competitor? And I think everyone always wants to believe that it's their features and their UI. And sure, we have great features and great UI, but those things anyone can copy, right? Anyone can open PodSqueeze and see, okay, they are doing this, they have this kind of UI, let's just copy. We don't have any patent, they can just do it, no problem, right? And they can actually do it in a few months. Copying our SEO, though, getting to that domain ranking, that takes months or even years. So that's something that we can defend. That's something that brings a lot of value to our brand, to our company. And as well, if we want to sell the company, that's really good. Let's say we want to sell to another competitor or to a company that is also in the podcasting space or video space. We are already ranking really well for a lot of these keywords. So they can just switch and plug their product and start making money from day one. So this is really good. This values a lot the company. Yeah, 100%. This was one of the best things that happened in 2024. We got really, really good in marketing, and our team works really well into kind of coming up with new keywords, new blog posts, repurposing content, and as well to exchange backlinks and find backlinks to grow our domain rate. So everything there is really, really, really good. Now, let me talk about our MRR. Our MRR grew 18%. So from 1 year to the other, grew 18%. It's not crazy. It's not a crazy number. It's also not a number to be embarrassed about. It's quite decent. If you think about it, if you have money in an ETF, if you have money invested, 18% growth in a year is very, very decent. It's very, very good. So if you think about it in that perspective, yeah, very solid, especially knowing that it's a very competitive market, knowing that there's tons of companies. There's a lot of competitors that already died. So the fact that we are here, the fact that we are alive and growing, it's very, very positive. So yeah, now there's also a few things that grew with this. Yeah, our costs. We decided to start kind of investing more in the company. And by doing so, our costs also grew a little bit. So in the end, and that's going back to the beginning of this episode when I said that it was not, we were a bit disappointed in a way because it was not a huge change. Our salaries didn't grow much. There was not a big raise in our salaries. So that's kind of affecting us a little bit. And probably that's more the downside. The downside of everything is very much related to our salaries, our growth. And yeah, we need to get better at this. Now, if we kind of evaluate, and that's something that I tell everyone to do, and when you're working with SaaS, it's all about numbers. It's all about conversions. And you need to kind of lay down your whole user flow and figure out every conversion. So first of all, you figure out what's the conversion from visit to register, right? Then from register to, let's say you have a trial or to paid version of your SaaS, whatever. And then you also have churn. all of these numbers, they are, you can go and compare yourself with other SaaS in your industry. These numbers are public, and you can kind of figure out if one of these numbers, or more than one actually, might be below the threshold, and that's where you need to focus. For us, at the moment with PodSqueeze, is definitely churn. Churn has been, since the beginning, a nemesis, something that we want to fix, but it's very, very, very hard. So just for you to understand, churn started in December 2023, was 13,000. December always grows a little bit, then 11%, 12%, and then it kind of went down, and now it's in 10%. So perhaps our churn did decrease by 1%, okay, which is okay, but still very poor. Normally, for you to understand, the churn for SaaS, for very healthy SaaS, churn will be more than 8% is already too much. So you want it to be in the 5% realm or something. Now, I know that for AI is a bit different. AI companies tend to have very high churns. I've met a lot of my friends or a lot of makers that have churns that are in the 30%, which is absurd, but they're also growing very, very fast. Now, yeah, our churn, it's something to focus on, definitely. And Jean and I, we already agreed that that's kind of the focus for 2025, at least the first months. We need to do something about this churn. Now, the tricky part here is that, and that's, by the way, something that we have done this year, which is measure everything. And that was a really good decision. So now when someone is registering into our website, we ask them, where did they found about us? And as well, when they are leaving, we ask them, like, why are you leaving? But there's no good explanation. Most people would just say that they are leaving because they are not doing podcasting anymore. So it seems that this churn is very much connected as well with the industry. A lot of people start a podcast and they stop, or they don't need a tool anymore. And because it's a tool that it only makes sense to pay for it if you're using it, obviously, right? It's not something that is kind of passive. So we need to find a way, and for us in our realm, in our industry, hosting providers. So basically, if you have a podcast and you upload it somewhere, some of these providers you need to pay. And those have really low churn, because even if you stop your podcast, you still want it to be available, right? So you still keep paying. So this tool, hosting provider, is still kind of bringing you value. Yeah, so definitely that's one of the things that we need to improve our churn rate. Now, in terms of marketing, we did try a lot of things. We played around with YouTube a lot. We started our own podcast, obviously. I mean, we are a podcasting company. So we started our own podcast, which was really good because we got to interview a lot of our customers, and that gave us a lot of content as well then to share on YouTube. Our YouTube grew, our TikTok grew as well, and a lot of these platforms grew. Now, it wasn't a crazy growth compared to SEO, obviously, but yeah, it was enough for us to kind of dip our toes into YouTube, into TikTok, into Instagram, but I think there's still a lot to be done here. We don't know enough about these platforms to call ourselves an experts, and very far from it, so that's something that we definitely need to improve. But yeah, at least we tried, and it did bring some good results. One really cool thing that we've learned as well is, just because we are getting a lot of new accounts, just for you to understand, every week from Google, we get 300 new accounts. Yeah, like the number of registered accounts are crazy. We have so many registered accounts. At the moment, I think we have 60,000 registered users on PodSqueeze, which is kind of absurd. But yeah, so even though we bring 300, or let's say 300 just to be a round number, 300 new accounts per week with Google, this still doesn't mean that Google is the best marketing source, because just bringing accounts doesn't matter too much. You want them to pay. So the conversion rate really comes into play. And the conversion rate changes a lot depending where people find your platform. The conversion rate is a byproduct of the trust people have in your product. And if you think about your own experience, when you search something on Google, you don't really trust it. Like, okay, Google shows it to you, but you still compare two or three different websites, and you're not really, really convinced if you want, at least not right away. But if a friend of yours tells you, hey, I've been using PodSqueeze, it's amazing, just use it, most likely you will convert. At least if you have the need for it, you will convert. So that's something really interesting. We, as I said, we measure everything. And the conversion rate from recommended by a friend or influencers, when the influencer talks about the tool, is around 10%. So if, let's say, we have about 30 accounts, right? 30 accounts per week coming from one of these sources, 10% means that we have 3 paid users. But the conversion from Google is around 3%. So it's much, much lower. It's still better, right? Because if we have 300 accounts and we have 3%, I guess not very good now. It's what, around 6-7 accounts per week that the paid accounts. So it's still better, but it's just by a little bit, right? So if we eventually are able to work on getting more recommended by a friend, that's great because the conversions are much higher as well. Okay, so that's kind of the numbers part and an overview of the things that we did well and things that we can still improve. Now, let me talk a little bit also about more personal stuff and things that I've realized. So one thing that was really interesting is my relationship with my co-founder. It's a very close relationship, the co-founders or founders relationship is very close always because you're literally speaking with this person every day. It's like almost like a marriage. I mean, we are sharing, we have a joint account, right? Which is a company's account, and we share MRR and we depend on each other, and there's a lot of trust. So yeah, there were some tougher times for sure, especially more towards the summer. The summer was very tough for PodSqueeze. And this was the first year as well when we really understand the seasonality and how seasonality affects our business. And we didn't know. Like, we didn't know it was seasonality until we actually lived it. So yeah, the summer we saw a lot of things going down as well. In December, we know that this happens. So it was very frustrating. And at the same time, we really did not know what to do. So there was a lot of demotivation, and I thought that we are not really engaged into improving things. And in the end, one of the decisions we decided to do was to start 2 new products. Actually, we started one product and then immediately another one. We tried to kind of recreate whatever we had going with PodSqueeze with a new product. Spoiler alert, did not work. We were very convinced that we would be able to replicate whatever happened with PodSqueeze, that would be easier, but no. And that's, by the way, one of the realizations I've made. A lot of people that succeed, they don't really know why they succeeded, at least in the entrepreneurial world. You know, in physics and mathematics, everything is much more concrete. Like, you know why something is happening. With entrepreneurship, you don't really know. And what a lot of people will do is that they will kind of come up with explanations in retrospect, right? So, and it's really easy. It's really tempting for you to do that. We've done that with PodSqueeze. We looked at PodSqueeze and we thought, okay, PodSqueeze worked because it was a product with AI. Let's say, I don't even remember what was the reasons, but like an AI. So we need AI, but we need to have a bigger market. We need to have a product that is kind of shareable, and people, when they share, they kind of has a marketing loop. So we came up with Flarecut, the idea of AI videos. And we thought, okay, perfect. This is ticking all the boxes. So it will succeed because we had the same success with PodSqueeze. At least that's why what we were telling as well to people. If someone would ask me, why did PodSqueeze succeed? That would be the reasons. Those would be the reasons. No, it didn't work. So this just proves that coming up with strategies or theories in retrospect, it's wrong. I mean, you don't know. You need to test them, right? You need to come up with a recipe. You need to before running your tests, before starting the company, you come with your predictions. And then if they don't come true, it means at least that something is wrong in your equation. So yeah, it's very, very hard to really understand. Now, I've kind of came up with a theory, again, in retrospect, so be advised. But it's all about the search and demand. which is something that kind of rules the market and it rules capitalism, and that's how everything is decided, you know, prices and everything. So what I believe happened with PodSqueeze at first was that time to market was really important. We kind of used this new technology, ChatGPT, and we used it in the beginning, and we used it to solve a problem that already existed, right? So people were already writing show notes and transcripts, but it was so much harder because they had to do it by hand. Now there's this good technology that does this for you, and we were one of the first. So once we started, there was a lot of, you know, people searching for this solution, but there was not a lot of people offering a solution because the technology had just, you know, the API was just released 1 month ago. So we were one of the first, and at first we got a big chunk of the market. As things moved forward, obviously, more competitors started to seeing us and others like us having success, and they said, okay, I also want in. And then there's more competition, and obviously the market gets separated. This happens everywhere. Now, Flarecut, our video created, funny enough, there's other products like AutoShorts. AutoShorts kind of was released more or less when, as well in the beginning of the video creation and the image creations and all of that. And AutoShorts had a huge success because exactly it entered the market in a time when there was not a lot of people offering this solution. But now, because we entered the market already 6 months, 7 months afterwards, or even more actually, a year after, then it was much harder. It's much harder to get into the market because it's already very cluttered. There's a lot of competition, and we need to slowly battle. And funny enough, we are also implementing SEO strategies with Flarecut, and it's kind of working. And eventually, we might even get there, but it's not the growth we saw with PodSqueeze whatsoever. Not at all. Now, one other really cool realization I had that I also shared with my co-founder was to kind of stop doubting ourselves. And I don't know if this happened to you as well, happens to you as a founder or, you know, in your professional or even personal life. But very often I would speak with other entrepreneurs, other indie makers, some of them my good friends, and we would start kind of sharing. And every time they would share about the good things that were happening in their business, I would feel that they were doing something better than us, that they were succeeding and we were not. Kind of the imposter syndrome, I don't know, but this always happened. And every time someone would ask me, hey, how is PodSqueeze? The whole year, most of the year, it only changed the last few months. The whole year, we would say, it's okay. I mean, it could be a bit better. We are stagnated. We are in a plateau. We'd always come up with this reasoning. And we were even kind of a bit embarrassed of sharing about our venture. So then I started realizing that when I asked these people, right? So let's say I would ask about a company and they would tell me. And at first everything was rainbow and flowers. And I was like, wow, amazing, everything is growing. But then when we would go deeper into the numbers and the conversions, we would realize that actually they were not making that much money, either because they were, you know, their operational or marketing costs are too high, or because they had a huge team. So in the end, we would see that actually we are not doing so bad. We are very good indeed. So why don't we feel like that? So my realization is that it's also part of your mindset. It depends on how you look at things. We can look at PodSqueeze and look at our growth and the things we achieved and say, wow, yeah, this year was a positive year. We grew 20% and we are more established as a brand. We have kind of really good SEO. It was a top year. Or we can look in the other way around and say, we only grew, you know, 20%, and our conversion rate is not so high, and our churn is very high, and it really depends on how you look. Now, I do believe, and that's something that I'm going to try to bring to 2025, is just be more positive and have more confidence in the company, have more confidence in ourselves, because as well, every time we share our strategies with our friends, there was nothing completely wrong. There's no low-hanging fruit that is missing. And that's something that also we realize. I mean, if there was a hanging fruit, sure, maybe there's a few adaptations we can do. But if there were, if there is some low-hanging fruit, we'll figure it out because we are doing things properly. We are working hard. We have a good mindset. And I mean, we are smart people. We will figure that out. So just by having this confidence, I also believe that it will influence our decisions, right? Because if we need to invest a little bit more in the company, you will never invest in something you don't believe in. If you start having this like kind of downwards conversation, but if you think, no, this company is growing really, really well, yeah, why not? Let's invest. And this comes to another realization and probably one of the last ones I will share with you today, which is time is our biggest asset. This is, by the way, since the beginning, I shared this at first. So no matter what phase, what stage you are in your entrepreneurship journey, time is your biggest asset. It's not money, it's time. And you need to save as much of it. So when we are, and I'll give you a very specific example. When now we decided to invest in our email flow. So when someone registers, at the moment you just get one email and then that's it. But now we thought, no, let's have like a whole chain of emails to increase the probability of conversion. So at first, what the old Tiago would do is like, okay, let's figure this out. Let's find what tools we can use. Let's write all the emails. Let's like A-B test. Let's like do the whole setup. Let's learn about this. And I would just spend months figuring everything. Now, the new Tiago thinks, no, let's just pay someone that has been doing this for a long time, someone that has done this in multiple companies, and let's let them do it. Like, why would I do it myself, right? That's not the role of an indie maker that believes in their company. An indie maker that believes in their company, that believes that the company can grow, will take the money, will invest, will even have like a kind of a pay cut, a salary cut to invest, to save 2-3 months. Because these 3 months means that instead of taking 3 months to everything going and getting the company growing, it will take maybe only a few weeks or 1 month, right? So yeah, that's kind of my new realization as well. Before starting a task, asking myself, how can I delegate this? How can I pay someone so that this is done with quality? That's really, really important. So that's also what I want to do now. And there'll be a lot of experiments in 2025. We're going to do some PR as well. We still, for sure, social media, experiment with new features. We'll always be doing this, but now maybe more with this approach of, okay, let's invest the money and let's get others to do this and expedite things, right? Make things faster. And that's definitely one thing that we want to do in 2025. And yeah, I think that's basically it. Those are my realizations, things that I've learned. In the end, it was a very, very good year. Now, what are the goals for 2025? What are the things that I want to accomplish? So one, and I've done a lot of self-reflection, and for sure, I need a bigger salary. And what a lot of indie makers normally will say is that, yeah, I need to get 1 million ARR. I don't really need 1 million, to be honest. 1 million is just this nice round number that everyone likes to say. But for me, our MRR is currently in the 16 to 17K dollars. Doubling that MRR would be already more than enough. As long as the costs do not grow, proportionally, that would be already really, really good. And I would be very happy with my salary. And yeah, that's kind of monetarily wise my main goal with our companies. And more specifically with PodSqueeze is definitely to reduce the churn. That will be a main focus. And as well to find maybe some alternative source of monetization. We have already, as I said, a brand in the podcasting world, and perhaps we can find other ways to make money. I don't know yet what, but some examples are perhaps, like a store, making a store, selling podcasting-related products, or, I don't know, whatever related to that, something that we'll need to figure out and think about it. But yeah, let's see. Tiago of the future, Tiago of 2025. I hope you are now sharing a wrap up where we have achieved these goals. But yeah, it was a good year. It was a good year, a steady year, a year of consolidation where I gained more trust on my skills as an entrepreneur, and definitely as well a year of a lot of learning and a year where I'm happy to be an entrepreneur. This is definitely my vocation. This is definitely my calling, my purpose, something that I really love doing. So yeah, very, very excited for 2025. Now, if you like this podcast, make sure to follow it and give a review, share it with your friends, shoot me a message at WBTiago. If you have any questions, if I can help you in any way with your business, shoot me a message on X or Twitter. And I wish you a great New Year's party and an amazing 2025. Bye-bye.